don't know if Jermaine's here. You have some questions, Eliza? Eliza, do you have some questions, Eliza?
Ion, a week or so ago, I was asking you about Jefferson's home and the closet overhead, the alcove bed. You said the portal opens that gate. I'd like to know where the gate leads to. Do you have to go through the portal and then that opens the gate? Is that what happens?
No. You don't have to open. It's open.
The gate is open, or the portal. The portal is open, so the portal opens the gate.
Ion said that portals were smaller, and he used the term gates. A gate was for airplanes and liners and big things. So there's that use of the terms in interdimensional movement. Now, you don't mean gate that way. You're talking about a gate at some monument or the octagonal house or what?
Yeah, in the octagonal room, there was a small little closet above this alcove-shaped bed. The gate, that's where they went through. So I'd like to know, where did that gate lead to?
The Turing machine.
Are you saying the Alan Turing device, Ion? T-U-R-I-N-G?
T-U-R-N-I-N-G.
A Turing machine. It leads to the Turing machine, Liza.
Will you tell me what the Turing machine is?
Leads to the magic doors.
So you go through the gate, you come upon the Turing machine, that leads to the magic doors, and then what happens?
Well, the parlor has a set of magic doors, so that as one door opens or closes, the other follows automatically.
Well, let's take Jefferson, for example. That's what he would do. He would go through the gate, come upon the Turing machine, open one of the magic doors, and where did that lead him to?
The Turing machine.
He went through the Turing machine, and what happened next?
It opened the magic doors.
So he opens the magic doors. Does he come upon a different world, another world?
Sometimes.
Sometimes it didn't work all the time?
Didn't change worlds all the time. Sometimes it made a different version of this world. He used a little ladder behind the bed to reach the side to choose the different worlds.
So sometimes he would go to a world similar to this one. Are there times he would go to very different worlds?
Certainly.
One of the worlds that it's... The ones that we're talking about right now, the very different worlds, will you describe some of the things that are not known here, that are known there?
The number 11.
The number 11 is a big thing in one of those worlds?
It's not known in those worlds.
And in those worlds, what's known there that's not known here?
Twin leaf.
You mean like a leaf from a tree? It would be a double leaf? Or is that the name of something?
It's twin leaf.
Tell me what twin leaf is.
Monticello's twin leaf.
The other home of Jefferson?
Okay, why don't you try Monticello's twin leaf?
Tell me about Monticello's twin leaf. Is this a leaf that was Only at Monticello or through a gate at Monticello?
Yes, through the turning machine.
Was this a place, the Twin Leaf?
You haven't Googled it, have you?
I'll Google it now. Well, the wiki says Jeffersonia, which is also known as Twin Leaf or Rheumatism Root, is a small genus of herbaceous perennial plants in the family of Berberaceae. It's a plant?
No, the concedes of the past. Twin Leaf Journal, Monticello, Seeds of the Past.
Collecting and disseminating seeds of choice plants was an important chapter of Jefferson's horticultural life. Throughout his correspondence and memoranda, we discover his enthusiasm for seed exchange and his concern for their timely transfer. His letters reveal his awareness of the season fast advancing, his urgency to connect with medical student couriers en route to Philadelphia, and his frustrations with uncertain transatlantic passages, such as during the 1812-15 embargo. But we also sense his anticipation for the botanical discoveries returned by the Lewis and Clark expedition, and his delight as a grandfather encouraging young Anne Carey Randolph to preserve diligently their cherished flower seeds upon his retirement to Monticello in 1809.
That's where the portal led to.
It led to the past?
To.
Seeds of the past. The imprints essential sheet, these seeds of the past are often equally frustrating, perilous, and even humorous. And they're saying that today their efforts to search out and retrieve these seeds of the past are often equally frustrating, perilous, and even humorous. So they're having trouble getting this twin leaf. Did it help Jefferson to portal into the past?
And future.
Do they exist right now, the Twin Leaf? Has anyone come across them?
Of course. Yes, always.
So if someone was to plant Twin Leaf in a little pot, does that lead them to a gate?
Nope.
Well, how can they use that?
Get a brown cow.
On this Jefferson topic, one of the things that always interested me about Jefferson was why he continued to hold slaves until his death. This man who seemed to understand freedom and democracy and write so wonderfully about all of that.
You have more slaves now since you have abolished it than you ever did when there was slavery.
That's true.
He was taking care of his property.
I know, but it sort of seems sad that he had children by, a woman that was his slave and then didn't give them their freedom. Washington did. Why didn't Jefferson? Anyway, that's neither here nor there. The great, the whys of things. I don't know. Are they important?
No. He was a great ejaculator. He was a great statesman and a greater ejaculator.
Susan, don't cancel out your statements. You've talked yourself in a circle there. Ask him. You've got a conventional liberal objection, and I'm going to tell you how she wasn't a slave. So ask about that.
So Sally,
he said he took care of them.
Well, she knew what to do to get jewelry too.
She was a willing slave, as we are, some of us, at times in our lives.
Yum.
Okay.
Come on, Susan, discuss your experience in the house. Bring some energy into this.
Well, it was, for me, it was a really cool experience insofar as I'd always been interested in this man, and suddenly, it's home. and taking photographs. And at the very end of the day, the narrator on this film turned to the camera and said, you know, something about, we're in the room that Jefferson died in, and, you know, this is his bedroom, and blah, blah, blah. And he finishes telling the story, and then they say, cut, print, and suddenly every bell in the house went off, because it was midnight, and all those chimes have been kept. It continued to be magical from beginning to end, you know, that house. It was, so I've been fascinated by that person ever since.
Ask a question about your experience.
I don't know. Is there a special thing that I should look for in my...
Well, he didn't die, Susan. He never died. He's still around.
Oh.
He's probably listening to the show today.
Where did I
about
meet
that.
Him? I want to know where to meet him.
Well,
where
ask.
Can I meet... Where can
You're
I meet
just naming
Tom
what you want to know. You've got non-physical here. Can answer anything pretty well. Start
okay.
Asking
I want to know where. I want to know where I can meet Thomas Jefferson.
Publix.
Is he the owner? Is he the CEO now?
Have you ever seen the owner of Publix at a Publix? We haven't.
No.
Probably not.
Does he own racehorses?
Interest in, yes.
What's Publix, Susan?
It's a grocery chain in the South, and it's wonderful and beautiful and elegant for what it is. It has a wonderful bakery, and, you know, all the departments are very well.
So I am saying you could bump into them in Publix.
At a Publix.
They serve food there, Bob. It's food place.
Yes,
right.
Food place.
And Jefferson likes their food.
No, it's just where she can bump into him.
So, Ion, Jefferson came from another world. He's part of the characters who, for some reason, from another world, they wanted to create American Revolution. He's one of these characters that you've mentioned, correct?
Deist, yes.
Did he bring in knowledge from another world to design his house beyond what people knew of that day?
With help, yes.
Where was the help from?
Natchez, Mississippi.
Were there people in my own background that would have known Thomas Jefferson?
Yes. Some know him now.
Would that be from the background of, in the shipping industry? It was in the shipping? Shipping and architects? There were architects all the way back in my time.
Architects.
Yeah, the architects. Sounds like I should be building houses.
Or selling them.
Or buying them and selling them.
Stop talking about yourself. Get in there.
Okay, I'm sorry. You're right.
Jefferson, come on.
Okay.
Sorry, didn't do it. You did.
Does he look like he did then?
Yes. He wears Abercrombie & Fitch now, though.
Still a redhead, huh?
Well, it's sort of like a burnt umber, but yeah.
Does he go by a different name now?
No.
It's still Thomas Jefferson?
Mostly, yeah.
But people haven't been able to make that connection that that's the Thomas Jefferson, so they probably think that it's just another person with the same name?
They don't ask that question.
No, they wouldn't think, maybe. Wow.
So when you're asking how they do maintain his anonymity, we can't even say it. We don't know how he keeps
anonymity.
We don't know how to say that, so maybe he doesn't. Maybe he doesn't care. And if he told you he was Benjamin Franklin or Abraham Lincoln, you'd say, oh, nice to meet you, Mr. Lincoln. You wouldn't think a thing about it. You'd think this man's on a Thorazine.
Yeah.
He'd move right on down the road. Who cares?
Except if I meet him in public.
Right. Then you can say, when it happens, then go, well, tell me, you slave, whoremongering son of a bitch, you. Tell me all about your magic machines that you have in your parlor.
Does he miss them? I would think he'd miss them. That house is so wonderful.
Who says he doesn't?
Live in the house. Okay.
He goes there. He probably can go there.
The alcoves allow him to arrive and miss whole sessions. There won't be a soul there.
Wow.
Well, you're saying, wow, but that's what we're saying about you. Yeah, like this is just the most superfluous thing you've ever heard, and we say you should do the same thing all day, every day.
Okay.
Kids today, what you going to do with them?
So when we wake up and we feel like we've been somewhere else,
we don't wake up and feel like we've been somewhere else. We've been somewhere else, and you use a sleep as the reason for why you can't understand why you're tired and you've been somewhere else.
Oh, yeah.
You bring back scars, bruises, and bumps from other places, and it's, I guess what you're doing in bed is quite deliciously challenging, so there you go.
The portals in my house, are they in my bedroom? Are they in my...
The little hallway. The hallway.
Okay.
Well, you know that. You go through there and you never get through. You never get through. So you stop and then you go back through and you never get through. You know this.
I don't guess I do yet.
Well, we've told you now. You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube.
Susan, do you want to know why? Would you like to ask him why you never go through?
Well, I guess I do go through. I just don't necessarily remember. Or I don't remember consciously.
It's the thing you won't allow yourself to embrace, so that's where you had to put it. It's like blunt force trauma that you compartmentalize into another space. You do that so you can deal with it. And it's silly, but that's what you do.
Ian, you're saying there's a portal in her hallway which she doesn't go through because she doesn't want to embrace?
No. She says that it's dreamland or fantasy land or fantasy island or something ridiculous when it's not that at all. It's real. And she doesn't even acknowledge that it is. And yet she gets excited to go through that every single time. And then now say she didn't know anything about it, this special. We go, okay, good luck with that. So you want to sell your house today and get rid of it?
I don't think so.
Exactly. There's your sign.
I have to deliberately go through and ask myself to deliberately remember.
No, just notice what you're absolutely deliberately doing.
Okay.
You ever woke up and want to know what the hell you're doing in the roof?
So, Ian, there is a thread of continuity going on in the last few months. We've talked about the Virginia Commonwealth. We talked about the Mary Queen Scots and Henry and some other people of that era, 1500, 1600, you named some names a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Was Jefferson working with people from other worlds in England? Like Ben Franklin would spend a lot of time over there, or in Paris, were they coordinating in the Virginia Compact, the Virginia Fact, that Commonwealth, is something that Jefferson was part of in making or continuing or undermining?
Embracing.
Did he encounter people from other dimensions involved with that contract and therefore had to get tuned into it and learn about it?
In the House of Stuart.
Which is Lady Diana's ancestry, correct?
Oh, so connected,
Stuart?
But yeah.
That's Mary Queen of Scots. Is she Mary Stuart? Is that the Stuart house?
Yes.
The Resolute Desk did not exist yet, but did the Resolute Desk help them do what Jefferson was already doing at his home?
No.
Jefferson is aware of it. Has he used the Resolute Desk?
Yes.
So who is someone in England, a family, a name, maybe a name you've already mentioned, who worked with Jefferson during the American Revolution?
John Stockholm.
John Stockholm. Okay, Google that, Eliza, or somebody. What are they making of the fact that China owns America, is in charge here? What are they making of Janet Yellen's predicament? Are they indifferent to those economic and Washington issues? Jefferson is indifferent to that, or is he involved
in
an outcome?
Well, I don't know about an outcome, but he's involved. You're creating this as you go. So it's all step in time.
What have I done lately that he's very pissed off at?
we don't say.
We can't go into that.
We can, but it'll bring you out, and you don't like that, so we won't do that.
Yeah. Keep me secret.
Has to do with leopards.
Okay. So, Eliza, do you remember, did you re-listen to stuff? Remember we talked about those names a couple months ago in that era?
Yeah, I looked it up, but because your archives were down, I couldn't go into it, but I did
right.
go into your notes. I think it was on the 15th of August that Ion mentioned a bunch of names of one of the
right.
houses. So I wanted to compare those names to other names that I came across in a book, which brings me to ask, Ion, there's a book called The Triangle Book of Saint Germain, and guess who it's by? It's by Iona Miller.
Oh, yeah, we know Iona, yes. She did a documentary on the fake Germain.
Is there any relevance to this book? Because there's a lot of houses of people and,
Well, see, Eliza, that's what I object to about Iona, is that she does not use Ion to supplement her research, so she ends up in fabricated nonsense land. I wouldn't even read her book because it's not dealing with the source that we have available, like you're doing. So you can take Iona's information and correct it.
And you wouldn't call it the Dragon Book.
You wouldn't call it the Dragon Book. You wouldn't use those silly names that she comes up with.
This book was posted on Dupes, so I just skimmed it, and they said that Saint Germain was likely born between 1675 to 1710. Is that accurate, Ion?
There's no time, so no.
He never was born. You know, he had no beginning. And if he's ascended, he's certainly working within the non-time reality. So the part of him that appeared to be born wouldn't exist anymore for him.
Another thing that I came across just skimming through this book was that they said that Saint Germain had discovered an ancient book in Egypt called the Book of Harmony. And you actually see
then you get into the Cipher Rosicrucian manuscript. Blah, 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 blah. Hip, snip, dip, flip, trip, trip, flip, dip.
I agree, Ion. I agree.
Well, it's a good thing I didn't read that book.
Yeah, you don't want to waste your time. You email Ionia and say, Bob told you, you're looking into stuff. She needs to listen to what you evoked from Ion and not do her stupid Google research or whatever she does. You had to scold her for not taking advantage of the real scholarship going on here.
She doesn't even know who the Marquis de Lafayette even is.
Yeah.
So be proactive. Say that you started looking at her book and at best you skimmed it and it got nowhere and you're amazed that she's not here on the show.
Yeah, I'm glad that I didn't read it.
It's supposed to have 45 pages instead of 44.
So Ion. So Jefferson knows what we're doing, and he witnessed the placing of my image in the Hollywood Cemetery there in Richmond, Virginia. Did he have something to do with putting my image or whatever? He didn't say exactly what I am in there, but did he have something to do with that?
Something to do with it's sort of
with putting me in there in that cemetery.
Well, everyone wants you in our local cemetery, Bob.
Yeah, sure. We don't need vast generalizations, Ion. Let's just deal with Jefferson.
And try some decent questions, and it might be good.
Well, that was my question. Did Jefferson have a role in putting my image in there, the Hollywood Cemetery in Richmond, Virginia?
Yes.
Ion, I'd like to know whose idea it was to put Bob's image in that cemetery.
Bob's. That's why they put fences around cemeteries now, because Bob's just dying to get into all of them.
I want to know why Jefferson still frequents this world. What is it about this world that he still likes to hang out?
He likes Jaeger bombs.
Bob, do you know what that is?
You had to get one of your drunk friends to tell you what a Jaeger bomb is.
It's an alcoholic drink?
Jägermeister.
Does Jefferson go into the same world that St. Germain is in also?
Well, yeah, they can.
They can, but has he?
Sure. They've even sat on the same toilet, but not at the same time.
Well, next question. You made me forget my next question.
Etch-a-sketch.
Let me read this. Okay. So the Virginian dynasty, when I read about it, it's a term used to describe the fact that the four of the first five presidents of the U.S. were from Virginia. Those presidents are George Washington, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, and James Monroe. All of them, they were rift riding, but they weren't of this world, or were they of this world? Did they come from another world to come here and become presidents?
Okay, and the answer is Etch-a-Sketch.
Will you tell me what Etch-a-Sketch art has to do with this?
We did not say Etch-a-Sketch art. Etch-a-Sketch.
Hey, Eliza, Gene has posted on the chat line, Jaeger bombs, dropping a shot of Jägermeister into a glass of beer.
And now she says, oops, wrong, a shot glass of Jägermeister dropped into a glass of Red Bull energy drink makes a cocktail called Jaeger bomb.
Mm-hmm. And why did Ian mention Jaeger bombs? What was the context?
That's because why he comes here.
What?
Ian says that's why Jefferson comes here, to this world.
Ah, for the Jaeger bombs.
Mm-hmm. The frequency of this world, is it lower than the other frequencies that Jefferson can portal to?
Yes.
Does that mean this world is less than Ion in relation to that world?
No.
It means it's better than, right?
Okay.
Yeah, we want to be denser.
Ian says that Jefferson likes the Jaeger bombs, but I want to know why, like the likes of St. Germain, Jefferson, and all these people that can portal into other worlds, what do they still do here? Is it the minerals? What is it about this world that they still frequent?
Nothing special. Why do you go to different beaches instead of same sand? Well, because it's different. They have stuff to do. It's different stuff. It's just different. It both rotates. People like steak, but they don't eat every meal. Eating fish, does that mean, why does he eat fish on Tuesday? Well, because he wants fish on Tuesday.
So it's more of a personal preference, like something subjective?
Yes.
Earlier when I was asking about one of the worlds that they portal to that's very different from this world, can you name me a few things that this world doesn't have or has never heard of or is unknown
Fountains.
To this world? Fountains?
Fountains. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm asking that's unknown to this world. We know what fountains are, like the water fountain.
No, you don't. No, you don't like a water fountain. No. A fountain, no. You don't know.
Is it spelled F-O-U-N-T-A-I-N, that fountain you're talking about?
Don't do.
Well, I'd like to know which fountain you're talking about.
See, it's the proof. You don't know what it is. You don't even know which one we're talking about. There it is. Good. You proved your point.
Yeah,
good.
But if I look up fountain here, you said it's not the fountain that we're thinking of, like a water fountain. It's not that type of fountain.
Correct.
You're saying it's a different fountain?
We're saying it is a fountain, and they don't know what you don't know in this world what that is. That's all we're saying.
Okay, Alyssa, I'm going to bring in Susanna. Let's see if she has something to add to this or some other things to say. But that was very good so far, what you've brought forward here.
It was. It's much more illicit.
More illicit. So, Susanna, you can go on your own topic, or do you have something about what Eliza and Susan have brought up?
One thing I wanted to ask about the twin leaf plant, was it significant that you mentioned it on based on where it was planted on Jefferson's Monticello home?
Yes.
So I found a map. It's apparently there's two places where they planted the shrub. Are those the original places where it was in Jefferson's time during when he lived there, the early 1800s? Or is it still
yeah.
the same place?
It is. Anne Carey Randolph.
Is that a person?
What do you think?
So Carey Randolph has something to do with Twin Leaf or the location of where the plant is?
Yes. Yes.
It's a very common name, apparently. Is she related to Jefferson? Did you say Carrie as in K-A-R-R-I-E? Is this a woman or a man?
C-A-R-Y. Well, A-N-A-N-N-E, Carrie, C-A-R-Y, Randolph would probably be female.
So Anne Carey Randolph Morris, 1774 to 1837, born on Tuckahoe Plantation near Richmond, was the eighth child of Anne Carey and Thomas Mann Randolph. From childhood, Anne was close to her cousin, Martha Jefferson, and the two women corresponded intermittently throughout their lives. Following her mother's death in March 1789 and her father's subsequent remarriage in September 1790, Anne took up residence with her sister Judith and family at Bazaar near Farmville, Virginia. In April 1793, Judith's husband Richard was accused of feloniously murdering a child set to be born of Nancy Ann Randolph. Defended by Patrick Henry and John Marshall, he was acquitted of the crime. Well, Ian, how is Anne Carey Randolph significant to the Twin Leaf?
She's who saved the seeds from the Lewis and Clark expedition.
She used to save the seeds from the Lewis and Clark expedition?
She did.
So these seeds originally came from the Lewis and Clark expedition?
Well, yes, they did.
So this plant grew somewhere in the Northwest Territory? Or somewhere along the route of the Lewis and Clark expedition. Is it significant where they were found?
No, because you don't know where they were found.
So the significance is where they are germinated and can grow?
Are there people who are using this twin leaf today?
Yes.
And what type of effect does it have on them?
The best lettuce they've ever eaten. Tennis ball lettuce.
Any effect, like do they travel into other worlds, like besides the lettuce, any other effect?
Yes, right, 4 o'clock. Mirabilis longa flora.
Is there a skill or knowledge involved in cultivating and germinating them?
You got to know the binomial nomenclature.
Are there differences in cultivation that are significant?
Yes, that's what we're talking about here when you said when the earlier one said that his girlfriend said that we were a cult. This is that cultivation.
I was talking about Michael Kulikowski, you know, the Jews guy. I don't know if his friend said we were a cult, but that's what he's referring to, you know, an hour ago.
Ian, one of the names that you gave us about 2 weeks ago, Governor Morris. So I just came across him again reading about Ann Carey Randolph. And it's
No, not a segue. Not a segue. See, it's not so. How wonderful. Go ahead. Bob's going to start, you're going to have to start looping the weeks from the topics. Loop them from week to week to week. Come here, Chris.
Yeah, this is cool. So it says, finally having agreed to work as a housekeeper for Governor Morris, whom she had met in 1788, Anne settled at Morrisania in New York in April 1809. In December of that year, the two were married, and their son, Governor Morris Jr., was born in 1813. Anne's husband died in 1816, and she remained in Morrisania, looking after the welfare of their son until her own death. Well, you mentioned Governor Morris when we were talking about this. Is he also someone that was familiar with rift writing?
Most certainly.
And that means he taught, well, I'm going to conclude that he taught his wife and Carey Randolph as well.
Okay.
Well, was she rift writing?
Yes.
Can you tell us another significant role that Governor Morris played in this whole Twin Leaf thing?
And saved the marjoram.
He saved the marjoram?
Yes.
Is that another plant or seed?
Yes.
That's an herb.
Essential oil. So he saved the marjoram, and marjoram is some cold sensitive perennial herb with sweet pine or citrus flavors. Was the marjoram going extinct or something that he needed to save it?
It wasn't until he had it the first time.
Eliza asked, was it going extinct? And Ian, you responded with saying it was until he had it the first time?
Right. It was extinct until he had it the first time. It was already extinct. He had it.
Tell us how he got it.
You act like every time you turn around that something's going extinct. Like everything that always was here, and they started the clock, and now everything is falling away. That's just not the case. Things are not yet sometimes, and they are retrieved, obsolete, and saved. And then that's their beginning. This was that beginning.
And is margarine significant? Is special in some way?
No, no, it was the answer to the question.
So was the Morris family involved with Jefferson at all, or with the
yes.
revolution and being an other worlder, parallel worlder?
And they also loved Revere Silver.
So are they still here?
They are.
So Iandam is the next American Revolution that will complete what they set out.
Is everything going to plan?
Yes. I was told that the other day. Everything is right on schedule. I'm doing a damn good job keeping everybody on schedule, Susanna.
The silver, was it from another world as well?
Some of it, especially the early Bushelanti was, but all the Revere was.
Was it from another world because it was part of the America? You said the America was from another world. Is that why?
Yes, that's a laudable conclusion.
And when you say America was a new world because it was from another world, is it the whole continent from Canada all the way down to South America? Does it include all that or just the United States portion?
Those lands are not so precise.
So, Ion, did the Toltecs, I mean, Roxanne is telling us about the Toltecs mythology about Quetzalcoatl, and they, it was normal to think about communication with other worlds. Were the Toltecs aware of what you're telling us is the source of America?
They would, yeah.
They would. Some of them, anyways.
So were the Toltecs here already and witnessed that?
Back and forth.
Ion, what part of the original, I call it the original continent, the Yamaka on the Earth, the ascended continent, what part of that became America, or that wasn't the source of America, and America came from somewhere else, not the Yamaka continent? Or is it back and forth, no beginning, so you can't figure it out?
Correct.
Not a relevant question.
Any answer we give is going to be wrong.
Because there is no beginning, which if you apply that to most of our topics, there wouldn't be much to say if you applied that answer to everything. Because it eliminates the classification ability, right? Because there's no 6 degrees separation. There's no how, what, where, when, why. Because in eternity, they don't happen. Don't have that limitation. So that would be the ultimate answer, but why the humans, little man, create these beginnings and endings like birth and death?
So they can place them.
Well, what is motivating them to place them? Have they got their mind going? The labyrinth of mind is in action.
It's not whether you win or lose, it's how you place the blame. They gotta have something to blame.
Now, those are thought and created, so they are realities. Maybe you can call them memes. They are real. Because anything made by humans is real?
Basically.
So you were born, Susanna, in a limited sense of you've joined a reality that makes beginnings happen.
Yes. Based
it's using the false premise of time.
Time, right.
So we can carry on with our 6 degrees of questions, 6 degrees of separation questions.
We can carry on with our 6 degrees separation questions, and Ion will still answer them.
He may not.
Probably, you'll know.
Yeah, Ion oscillates back and forth. Ion requires words, so if he keeps shutting us up, nothing happens. So eventually Ion has to give in and let us get away with it, because that's what we're talking about is limited questions, limited knowledge for playfulness.
So Bob was talking, was discussing with us the players that were in place, the schedule, it's on point for the completion of the revolution. And you've pointed out Jefferson and others that are here still to do that. And then there's connections to Brandenburg Gate, the Germans. There's connections to England. Are there connections also to France? With
yes.
People there that are working.
Edward III.
And last week you brought up Jacob Grimm, who I looked up and was very involved with the Prussian
yes.
family.
Mm-hmm.
And also from Hesse, I don't know if I'm saying that right, but
you're doing that right.
That's where what they call the Hessian soldiers came that the English brought
yes,
over to the
yes.
United States during the Revolution.
Yes.
So are those the connections that the dots you wanted that
they
you were bringing up?
They can. There's some. They're not all of them.
But you also brought up Grimm's Law, which had to do with sounds, which was more about the tone and making changes in the cell.
Basically.
So is that what you were talking about? Is that the significance of bringing up the Grimm's Law to talk about, although these were all Germanic language sounds, are they in relation to the tones? Are they significant to the tones that you talked about and the lines and spaces that are going to be filled up?
Yes.
The Prussian oligarchy that owns the crown jewels in England, were they active during the time of the American Revolution, Ion?
Which one?
Well, the Prussian oligarchy that have the power or wealth to buy the crown jewels, the British crown jewels. I mean, Russia happens in the 19th century, historically, but was the people involved that set up the quadrillionaires and Prussia, were they active through these connections that Susanna's making with Jefferson and some of the American Revolution people?
Back and forth. But see, it wasn't such a precise thing then.
And Saint Germain was making his connections to China in that, or at the same period, or even before that, right?
Yes.
Setting up for the Louisiana Purchase.
Preparing it.
Okay.
Yes.
Were the Chinese, whatever you want to call them, elders, the people that were interested in America for hundreds of years, they were involved with this? So it was a global village for those aristocrats or whatever they were. There would be connections all over the planet for the American Revolution, correct?
Yes.
So shrink your image there, Susanna. You know, it's a lot of people in different parts of the world had a stake in this revolution.
Was Saint Germain and Jefferson working together to get the Louisiana Purchase under the U.S. territory?
It wasn't under the U.S.
It wasn't in the beginning. It went from Spain to France, and then I think back to Spain. But was St. Germain involved with that? Because eventually Jefferson sent Monroe, I think it was, to buy the territory from France.
Well, provide it. They weren't buying it. They were providing it.
They weren't buying it, they weren't buying money, or they were providing what?
Providing the Louisiana Purchase.
Who was providing it? The Europeans? Or the Americans are providing the purchase?
No, the French.
France.
The French were providing the purchase.
Are you saying that France gave the U.S.? The Louisiana Purchase without...
No, we did not. We said they provided it for sale.
Who objected to that sale, Ion? Anybody in Europe?
Tsar Russia.
Well, did they have a stake in the matter? Had they already been involved?
No, they did not. They just did.
Is there anything significant, like very significant, about the Louisiana Purchase that many countries were fighting to own?
No.
No special natural resources or minerals there?
They didn't know or care about that.
Is the Virginian Dynasty part of the 418 group?
No.
Jefferson and all his buddies that were rift riding, because they could rift ride, does that mean they're ascended?
No, it does not. You rift ride and you aren't ascended.
I was rift riding and I wasn't ascended?
You do rift ride and you're not ascended, is what he said.
So basically anyone can rift ride, that doesn't mean they're ascended.
Well, but that's right. Well, we would like to say you all are ascended, but you don't recognize it, so then you aren't.
Well,
and they're remembering their riff riding. They're conscious, the Jefferson and his buddies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm paying more and more attention to it, so I think I'm getting a better grasp of it.
You are doing wonderful.
Okay, Susanna, have you got something to say?
I wanted to talk about communication. Ion, you said that cells communicate by refraction.
Yes.
refraction, do you mean light?
No, you don't have to have light for refraction.
So you mean vibration and frequency?
Always.
And so for refraction, that means a straight line is bending, or energy, a wave is bending, and, oh, actually, I don't know where I'm going. I'm just trying to get back to the tones and how the cells change. And you talked about cells that they communicate and they become before words, that perfect cells communicate with refraction. I'm just trying to pull it all together. I'm not doing a very good job, it seems.
You're doing all right. It's okay.
Can you give me a hand with these tones?
How about a foot?
Okay, a foot. This is sacred music that the Catholic Church only allows for their masses, and things like Gregorian chants, are they based on these tonalities?
No, but Louis Comfort Tiffany was with Handel as the fondeur.
Okay, I didn't get that. Are you being sarcastic?
No, we were answering your question. Specifically, the begonia pattern.
So if you clink it, will it have a specific tone that's very, it's the ones that change cells?
Well, it doesn't clink very well, but the way it is produced involves those tonal correlations.
And you'd mentioned before that the change of the cells, it's all about changing the operating system of the cell to reproduce in perfect form.
Basically.
And the RNA drops are helping with that. Is there non-physical in the RNA drops?
Yes, there is.
And then the creating part involves non-physical and embracing the non-physical to enable that change. Does that happen within the hypothalamus to change the set point?
The reference point, yes.
And then from there, is it a domino effect throughout the cells?
We hope so.
And the set point within the hypothalamus is attaining a frequency to enable that change, that communication to happen?
It's a lot of words. They don't mean very much, but yeah.
And is the frequency, well, he's named the frequency, are all the cells going to be vibrating in that same frequency, or are there different frequencies, as in a harmony?
There are degree frequencies, like half-step modulations and such.
For the treble clef to fill up.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the large amount of something that we are in flux? It's tone, frequencies, vibration?
In flux.
You've mentioned before that we're switchgear in flux. In explaining what in flux meant, it was that receiving a large amount of something. That was the definition of in flux. And now the question is the what is being received, is it a large amount of frequency or vibration?
Yeah, but not a large amount, just frequency, maybe intensified, maybe.
Because you can't have too much frequency, you can only have amplitude. Yep. How do I say this?
Are you running out, Susanna?
Yeah, I don't know how to structure this next question.
Well, just say anything.
Well, It's about frequency in that you can only have amplitude, but not, which is volume, but not a lot of it. So I don't understand it in theory, so I don't think I can phrase the question.
Okay, why would you want to know about the amplitude? Why do we need to know about these things? What's
well, because I asked Ion if we're receiving a large amount of something. Is that something vibration or frequency? And Ion just said not a large amount, but large amplitude. Correct, Ion? Isn't that what you said?
Well, why are we receiving it? What's your receptional context? What are you asking about?
Because the frequency, the vibration, is what is going to change cells.
Well, you can change your frequency, Ion would say. You can take your vibration. So it doesn't matter what's coming off the outer world. You're in charge of it.
Oh,
except for the RNA drops. The drops, though, you apparently need to take to get that boost.
Well, what I was trying to get at is whether that is what is the power, the energy, that undefinable electricity thing.
In the RNA
force,
drops.
If there are energy force.
In the drops.
No, not in the drops, but just in us.
You want to name your source of power.
Well, it hasn't been named yet.
Yes, it has. It's been speaking. Speaking is the power.
Well, I started out with power of the word and then communication, not necessarily words, and that the cells also communicate through refraction, and then that turned out to be vibration and frequency, and then there's sound. I mean, it's not necessarily words, but it is communication.
Okay, so then you start worrying about which sounds better than another sound.
My question is communication then power? Is that source energy?
Ask Ion that. You've got the question. Ask Ion.
So Ion, is that
it's a good question. No, it's not. Your communication just messes it up. It becomes the essence of the contrast. It's important, but it's the essence of why you don't get it. Otherwise, just like this conversation, there'd be no reason to conversate it. You'd know. And once you know, you don't have to chat about it. But now, not to say that if you get a perfect cup of tea, that you don't have something to talk about to discuss a perfect cup of tea. But you got to have somebody that'll listen to what a perfect cup of tea and can pick up and get what you're speaking about. Otherwise, they look at you like, what the hell are you talking about, Eunice?
But it's not necessarily somebody else, another human creator, that needs to be communicated to or that would require understanding what you're saying.
Correct. That's right.
So the understanding or the communicating to is what, the non-physical and my physical?
You're already perfect. You're already fine. You just don't know it. Your non-physical knows you're fine and can't seem to convey it to you. So all the clues that are hidden all over everything, every religion, every billboard, every TV, it's bringing an example to bring you back to God. And everything that works toward that is good because it does that. And you do it like the crumbs, finding your way back, Hansel and Gretel going to the candy house to eat. It shifts.
Okay, I'm done. Thank you, Ion.
Did it help you?
I'm still thinking too much, I think. I know I'm thinking too much.
And that's all right, because that's the contrast that gets you back. All good erections end up with a lot of contrast, so it's all good. Go with it. You'll be all right.
Yeah. I'm going with it.
Excellent.
Ion, you said all good erections end up with a lot of contrast?
Yes, that's how you get the blood to stay in the penis, is through contrast.
Oh, that contrast.